kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Consider today, and it is a faith teaching, and we're calling our teaching today Faith That's Real But Not Disciplined. A faith that's real but not disciplined. A lot of saints become despondent, and we particularly found in the deeper life over the years that many embrace the faith and the deeper life and walk with it for a while, but for certain reasons or whatever, they turn away. And some of those that have turned away because it hasn't worked for them, and they become a bit critical about it, and then they start to find errors and problems and so on. You see, what they fail to understand, and we have to watch this also, that with faith, which is a gift to believe, because God gives us that gift, we're told that he's the author and finisher of our faith. Like all things, it has to be worked on, and it has to be disciplined, because it isn't going to work as you would want it to work, and it certainly isn't going to glorify God. We know that faith is a fruit and is part of the fruit of the Spirit, and so it has to be worked on, it has to be pruned, and more fruit has to come forth. But very often we find that there are many who have a faith, but it isn't a disciplined faith. Now Jesus touches on this, and turn with me if you will to John 16 and verse 32. John 16 and verse 32. And here he says something interesting. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So Jesus, again, is having a foreknowledge of what will happen. He is, of course, primarily speaking about his betrayal and his crucifixion, how that the disciples will scatter. They won't remain with him. They won't be faithful. They won't be loyal. And you see, it's interesting what he's saying here is, because he isn't saying that the faith they already have, they have a faith, else they wouldn't have followed the Lord. So there was a faith when he called them, when he said, come and follow me. So there was that faith birthed into their soul, into their hearts. But you see, the faith isn't really genuine. It's not really effective. It is faith, but it's not going to be enough. And this is really what he's getting to here in verse 32. In other words, it has to be worked on. It's not disciplined. It's not focusing on the Lord as it should. It's not seeing the word and prayer that is so important with our faith. And of course, you see, the disciples have only walked with the Lord some 3 years or under 3 years. And so this is why he's saying, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. So in other words, you will scatter, you will go away, and you will go to whatever your interest, your heart, or wherever your feet take you. That is really what he's saying. And he's pinpointing the fact that it's an undisciplined faith. And an undisciplined faith will go to the things that we're concerned about, where the affections of our heart are. We know, of course, the story of Lot, how his wife, her heart was still in Sodom and Gomorrah as God was bringing them out from there. Again, it revealed an undisciplined faith. It revealed that the faith she had, she wasn't allowing God to work on it. And it is very important that we must allow God to work on our faith. That is what the deeper life is about. That's why, of course, we have the analogy of the potter with the clay, how he works with that clay and creates and makes that vessel of honor. So it is so important that we allow the Lord to work on our faith. This is why we make so much of faith in FGA. This is why I make no apology when I'm teaching another faith message, because so often we find there is still something new in which to learn with regard to our faith, because our faith has got to be disciplined. It has got to be brought under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And that is why God works in us. He works in our heart, in our affections, in order in which to do this, because otherwise we will scatter. We will always go to what is holding our interest other than the Lord. And what happens to us when we scatter? Well, we just go into the emptiness of our lives, because our lives without Christ are empty. They're futile. Without Christ, we're just going to go to those things where our hearts and affections are. But at the end of the day, it's just vanity. It's just futile. It might be important to you, but it doesn't give eternal life. You see, God is ever saving us. We are saved and we're being saved. And the mercy and love of God is that he's protecting, he's delivering us from ourselves, because we are our own worst enemy. We so easily believe our lies, our fantasies. Wherever our heart is, we believe it. That is why he has to give us a new heart. This is why he has to turn us around, so that we begin to embrace and see the kingdom of God, so that we can set our affections on that. God knows how to deliver us from self. This is what sin has done. This is what the world walks in, the fallen world. They walk in their own lusts, in their own lives, they're in their own dreams, their own fantasies, where their heart and affections are. This is why most are not interested in the gospel. They're not interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our very gathering today is a miracle, because God has worked that within our hearts. And this is why our faith has to be exercised. and it's exercise in everyday living. That's why we live still in the world. He's left us here still for that reason, so that our faith can be exercised. We can use our faith for this day. Have you ever thought that when you wake up in the morning and you're going to face that day, you're facing that day by faith? Hear yourself say it. Confess it. Thank the Lord. I walk by faith today and not by sight. I confess all of that ever before I get out of bed, because that is my walk. That is what I believe God wants, and it's what I want. But it has to be worked on. It has to be brought under discipline. And our daily lives and the trials and the tests and all the experiences that we meet each day work that discipline within our faith. You see, so many Christians are just barren and empty. They're shallow because they don't act their faith. And often their hearts are elsewhere. And this is a lot of the problem that we find in Christendom. You probably know professing Christians who are like that, that you are burdened for, that you're praying for them. For what purpose? That they will go deeper. They're too shallow. They're empty. They're not experiencing faith as they should. And so we get into prayer. We get into intercession for these people, so that they can start to experience a faith walk. What does it say in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2? Here, this hits on the nail on the head with this problem. He says, set your mind on things above and not things on the earth. So we have to make a positive move in that direction, in which to set our minds on things above. This is what faith needs. This is part of the discipline that is needed, to set our minds, our hearts, our affections on things above. And of course, this is why we pray, intercede. This is why we ask the Lord to do this. And this is a wonderful prayer to pray for those who have a shallow faith, or have a barren and empty, unfruitful life as a Christian. And sadly, we know them. But God brings them along our path for a reason. Because he wants you to start to pray these sort of prayers. He wants you to start to pray where you will, Lord, work on their faith, that they have a real faith, that they will start to get a testimony of you. Set their minds on things above. They're too worldly. They're too concerned about the things of the world. This is where we pray effectively. And this is where we're going to see our ministries becoming effective. It's not enough just to say, Lord, bless them or help them. It's not enough. We need to be specific. We need to start to use and quote the word, the promises that are for them as well. And we will start to see these lives changing. Yes, the Lord may take them through some trials and testings when you start praying for them. But the point is, God is going to start to work so that they will have a real faith and not a barren and empty, unfruitful life that sadly so many Christians have. That is not the life that God expects for us. When we embrace all these promises and we read what is in his word, we should be experiencing this every day. You see, God works and allows our lives in order to experience faith and by what we go through. So what you go through, what your trials, your tests are for the very purpose to start to experience faith, to start to believe. The trials that you go through are to get to your faith. Always remember that. No matter how big, how strange, or whatever it is you may be going through, this trial is to get to my faith that I believe. Always remember that. And then you will find that God will begin to work with your faith. And you will start to see your faith become active. You will see the fruit of your faith. You will start to see the signs of faith and so on. You see, faith cannot be sustained just by feelings and blessings. I know I've touched on this many times, but so often we just associate our faith with the feelings, or I've had blessings or whatever it is. And they have a place, don't get me wrong. But that doesn't really discipline your faith. The trials that you go through are the ones that discipline our faith. Trust me, they really, really do. Because that is where God gets our attention. That's where he means business. And you know that you have to mean business in this trial or whatever it is that I'm going through. And it works in everyday life and experiences. Well, going back to John 16 and verse 32, he says something else here. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and you will leave me alone. So in other words, he says, you will leave me. You will leave me alone. Well, that's an interesting statement. Have you scattered? Have you left Jesus, your Saviour, alone? Yes, we've done it. And we bow our heads in shame. We've left him alone when we should have been with him. We should have been considering him. I should have been fellowshipping, talking to him, or even praying. But I have left and left him alone. You see, we do this because we're not seeing his love and care, protection, and all these promises. See, this is what unbelief does. And this is why God is working on our faith to discipline our faith so that we don't leave him alone. We have that unbroken fellowship with him 24/7. He disciplines our faith because he doesn't want us running away, scattering. He wants us to be able to face every situation together. The reason Jesus didn't run away when the guards came for him, because he knew his Father was with him. He knew his Father would be with him to the cross. He knew his Father would be with him when he faced death and resurrection. He knew his Father was with him when he was paying the price for man's sin, for the world. He had that assurance. How did he come to that place? Because his faith was disciplined. It was worked upon. And God's doing exactly the same with you and I. So that whatever we go through, whatever situation, we will not leave him alone, and he certainly will not leave us. And we know that for sure. You see, we've got the assurance of that. We know that it says he won't leave us, but we're not quite sure about ourselves. And so God works on our faith. He disciplines this faith so that we can have that assurance that whatever I go through, I know we go through it together. Just like Jesus did when he went to the cross. Because you have to see his love. You have to understand his care, his protection, his provisions, his healing, the promises, everything that we make so much of. You have to experience these. And the experience is part of the discipline that faith needs. Your faith needs this far, far more than even you realize. And this is why God is addressing this in the way that he is. And that's why when we go through whatever we go through, every day in our walk, are you seeing him at work? Are you seeing him in your life? Are you seeing him when you meet up with people? Wherever you go, whatever you do, are you together? Are you seeing him in that? Because he's not left me, or have I left him? You see, if I'm not experiencing God in my everyday life, if I'm not experiencing what he's doing, then it could be I have left him for a while. You see, nothing should be coincidental. Nothing in many ways should be a shock to us. Whatever we encounter, whatever we see, whoever God brings along our path is for a reason. Because I walk by faith and not by sight. And the same with my trials. Do I still think my trials strange, peculiar? Why is this happening to me, or whatever it is? If you still think like that, you're still leaving him alone. You're running away. And eventually we get it, because he's working on our faith to discipline it. Because a disciplined life will keep fellowship with God. That's why we're in the army, that spiritual army, and he's training us so that we don't retract, we don't run away when things get a bit harder or whatever it is. You see, do you have testimonies of all of this? Have you got testimonies in your life of where you're seeing God working through your faith, or working through somebody he brings along your path, or somebody he wants you to pray and intercede for, or whatever it is? We should be experiencing these, brothers and sisters. I get concerned when you ask a brother or sister, well, how's your week been, or whatever it is, and all you'll ever get out of them is their work, or what they've done with the family, or things like that. Now, that has a place, don't get me wrong. But when you continue to hear that, and that's all that comes out, something is wrong. They've scattered. They're leaving God alone. They're running away from him. They're not allowing their faith to be worked on, to be disciplined. This, of course, is why we have also a prayer life, and we get into the Word. That is important. That helps to discipline us. You see, we're living in an age and culture where this generation does not want to be disciplined. Anything but. Children today hate discipline. Rebellion is getting so bad. So this is why God has to deliver us from this mindset and bring us back and restore us back under discipline. We actually like it. Children like to be disciplined, believe it or not. Oh, you may get a reaction or whatever it is, but they need that. They want that. It gives them clear signals, signs. It shows them what is right. Well, how much more then does our Heavenly Father do that with us? Certainly with regard to faith and believing. He leaves no stone untouched with our lives, I can assure you. And that is why he's working on our faith. Let's turn to John 16. The Gospel of John. Let's take it from verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So there is the promise. He's overcome the world. What is he saying there? I've overcome your unbelief. I've overcome your faith that is not disciplined yet, worked on yet, but it will be, because I have overcome. He's overcome the world, those things that hold us back. Myriads of things, in fact. He says, I have overcome the world, therefore I can work in and through you. But of course, we have to let him. And this is where discipline comes in. And faith needs that discipline, because otherwise we will scatter. We will leave him alone. We will go away. We won't be faithful. And I take that one very seriously, because I'm very aware in my weakness what I can do. You have to really be honest with yourself with regard to this. And so if you want to be faithful, you want to remain and stay with him. Because he pointed out that the disciples were going to do this. You know, they had a chance to be able to say, well, when they heard this, Father, Lord, we hear what you're saying. Please help us. We don't want to scatter. We don't want to leave you or whatever it is. But you see, they were undisciplined. They weren't hearing yet. Their hearts weren't really being touched as it should. They've got faith. Oh, they have faith, but it isn't genuine. It's not sincere. It's not the faith that God is looking for. It's got to be worked on. And that is why, you see, we have to be honest with the Lord. And when God challenges us, like he's challenging us today, if we hear something, don't leave it. Make it your prayer. Go before the Lord. Ask him to work that in your life. You may not have another chance. That is why the word of God is so important, and that's why we can grow by this word. That is why when I listen to sermons very often, I have a notepad, and sometimes I just take something down or I jot it down, because I want to take that before the Lord. I don't want to forget about that. I need to talk to my Father about this. That's how you grow, brothers and sisters. That is how you get that disciplined faith. A faith that will be loyal, that will remain, that will not run away and scatter like the disciples did. Because we don't know what this walk holds. We don't know what tomorrow lies. We don't know what is around the corner. And so I need to be anchored in the Lord. I need that unbroken fellowship, because I'm aware otherwise I can do my own thing, or I'll go off what takes my interest, because we can all do it. We've got things that we're interested in. We've got things that we can go to. We can hide. We can go off. But the point is, we know that we take it wherever we go. That's the point. And some Christians see that and some don't. But praise God, you see it, we see it. And so we allow the Lord to work and discipline our faith for this very purpose, so that we will not scatter. We will stay with him in fellowship. We will stay with him whatever he goes through, whatever he's experiencing, because we're in that fellowship. We're together in this. You don't walk on your own. You walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever he goes, you go. And wherever you go, he goes. You walk together in fellowship. You don't leave one another. That is the point. And I believe that that is sonship faith. That is the walk that God is perfecting and working in us. That unbroken fellowship, 24/7. Now, it can only be by the Holy Spirit. There's no other way it can be done. And so he's going to do this if we want this. And we're going to start to see our faith really working. We're going to start to hear and experience these testimonies. We're going to start to see healings, because they should be in the house of God. If you walk together, then there's wholeness in mind, body and spirit. Because the Lord Jesus isn't affected. He says, I've overcome the world for you, that you can now overcome and walk and be like me. That's why we hold to the promises of God's word. And this is why we hold to divine healing. And I know it's not a popular subject. And I know we're criticized for it. But God shows us we can come to that place if we allow our faith to be disciplined and worked on. That we can have a testimony that the word of God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And that's why he's delivering us from the arm of the flesh. That's why he doesn't want us being tampered with medical science and what they're doing all the time. And we're hearing more and more of these inventions that come out, how they now uniting our bodies now to AI technology and so on. Well, we know where that's from. God's delivering us from all of that. Thank God for that. This is a whole complete work, this deeper life. I don't think we've still yet fully understood and appreciated it, but it is that we can walk holy unto the Lord, preserved and kept in whatever situation we're in. I mean, I'll let you in, you know, I know I deliver this teaching, but don't think for one moment that I don't go through trials and testings. I gave about a couple of months ago a testimony where God had healed my knee, on the right hand side. Little did I realize 2 days later that for 6 weeks I was going through a terrific trial with my knee. The enemy was trying to rob my faith, rob my confession, rob me from what Jesus accomplished for me at Calvary. And there was at times I thought I got a bit down and low. and the pain sometimes, and you lock when you try to get out of a chair. And of course, I love walking and so on. And sometimes it was difficult. And I said, Lord, I haven't made a mistake. And the enemy, of course, said, well, you're going to look stupid now. You've said it. You brought it out to the assembly that you've been healed and everything. You know, it's going to look ridiculous. It's not going to glorify God. It's going to make your ministry look ineffective. Yes, all those things were going on. The enemy was very vocal. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder why the enemy is so vocal. What's he afraid of? Why is he telling me all of this? See, it doesn't take long. And I just settled it. I said, Lord, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether I live or I die or whatever it is. I'm with the Lord. And my last breath is, by your stripes I was healed at Calvary. Well, I'm standing here today. Praise God. It's healed. No pain. It's all gone. God has manifested it. And also the enemy no longer buffets me anymore. You see, you have to hold on sometimes. This is where God is disciplining your faith. My faith needed still to be disciplined and worked on. Don't give up. The enemy comes, of course he does, but he starts to give himself away. Because I believe my Father loves me. And he has provided. He gave the greatest gift ever given to the world, to mankind. He gave his Son, Jesus Christ. It was a whole and complete work that was accomplished at Calvary. And so many in the pulpits today, so many Christians limit what he did and has done. Well, we don't do that in FGA. We are going to stay with this and we're going to allow God to work and to discipline our faith so that we have that unbroken fellowship with him and that we have these testimonies of what God has done and is doing through our lives. Yes, he's done it for me and he will do it for you, and he has done it for you. But hold in there. Don't give up. Keep listening. Keep coming. Keep walking with the Lord and you will see he is faithful. These delays of our faith are tailor-made for the very purpose so that we have a real faith. A faith that is disciplined. A faith that will not run away when trials come. Don't we serve a wonderful, loving God? Oh, he loves us so much. He's working day and night. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He works in every facet and area. He's working in areas of your life you don't even know about. You will do in time, but you don't know at the moment. We cannot fail in this. And as I close, we have a future, a destiny set before us that no one in this life, the most richest, the most powerful person in this world, doesn't have anything in comparison to what we have and what future we have with Christ. And he says, we can experience it now in this life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm going to leave you with this thought. Is there disease, bondage, sickness in heaven? Why, you all say, of course there's not, Pastor. No. So he says, pray that then on the earth. Pray that in your church. Pray that in your life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all these promises that you hold in the Word are all established and settled in heaven. What you do is pray them on the earth. You pray them through with your faith to experience what is in heaven. That is why we can be blessed now. That is why we can be healed now, not when we get to heaven, which most preach and teach today. On the contrary, we can start believing now. But in order to do that, he has got to discipline our faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, you love us so much. You hold nothing back. Lord, work on our faith. Discipline us. Do whatever it takes. Because we want to remain faithful to you. We do not want to leave you. We do not want to go away and come back and go away and come back, which we've done in the past. We want that unbroken fellowship 24/7. And Lord, we know that you will do this because you have spoken today to us. And you've sent your Holy Spirit in which to accomplish this. That is why it's not by might, not by power. It's by your Spirit, Lord Jesus.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.